Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Adam Young, and today I am joined by my good friend and fellow therapist, Terry Bonn. In the near future, I am going to address how healing happens in the brain, but there is a prerequisite to healing. There's something that you have to be growing in if you are going to experience healing, and that something is awareness. Awareness means choosing to pay attention to what is happening in your mind and your body. And I know this sounds so elementary, but most of us don't do it very often or very well. Today, we are going to talk about why awareness is so critical for healing, what it actually means, and how to do it. I'm here with my friend, Terry Bonn. Terry, it's good to see you. This is the first episode that I've ever recorded in my office with another human being in my office.
And it's my first time being interviewed on a podcast. So it's good to be with you, Adam.
Say a bit about who you are, what you're passionate about, just to give the listeners a sense of you.
Currently, I'm a licensed therapist in Fort Collins. I'm also a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Washington, where I did my graduate work at the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology.
So Terry and I get together most Saturday mornings and either hike in the unbelievably beautiful environs of Fort Collins, where we both live, or have coffee, and invariably we'll kind of be partway into the conversation and I'll say something like, I got to get you on the podcast, or we should record this and just record our conversation. So we're going to do that today. We're going to have a conversation while we're mic'd, but we also have an agenda. And let's start with this word integration. What does that word mean to you, and why is it an important word?
Well, in its simplest form, for me, integration is about bringing these various pieces together. Integration is about bringing all of ourselves together, the parts of ourselves and the professional self and the personal self, the relational self, the spiritual self.
This is what we found through neuroscience. Integration leads to well-being, or what the Bible calls shalom. Integration leads to healing. When we talk about a brain that is healing, we're talking about a brain that is becoming more integrated, and really the other word for that is just more connected. Neurons connected to each other. Trauma impairs integrative functioning of the brain. That's a quote from Dan Siegel. Trauma impairs integrative functioning in the brain. And so when we experience harm, tragedy, heartache, our brain does not process that well, and it becomes disintegrated, i.e. disconnected. Dan Siegel has identified, he's a neuroscientist, has influenced Terry and I a lot, and he's identified 9 areas that need to be integrated for optimal health. We're not going to talk about all of them, but we're going to look at some of them in a future episode. Today, what we're going to do is talk about the first area, or what he calls domain of integration. And it is the most important in simply this sense. It's the one that makes it possible to do any integrating whatsoever. And that thing is awareness. Awareness. What does awareness mean to you?
A mindful presence. Dan Siegel uses the word mindful quite a bit. Mindfulness, attentiveness, and for many people increasingly being meditative, whether that's a formal practice or just an intentionality of knowing what you are paying attention to. I think it's Kurt Thompson, the psychiatrist on the East Coast, that says that we are attending to the things that we are paying attention to.
Yes. So really when we say awareness, it's simply another way of saying paying attention. But it's paying attention to what's happening inside of our minds and what's happening inside of our bodies. So paying attention to our thoughts, to our feelings, to the sensations in our body, like heart rate, like breathing, and especially paying attention to our level of arousal or our affect. And if affect is a new term to you, you can check out season 1, episode 20. I talk about affect, what it is, and what affect regulation is. But when we talk about awareness, we're talking about paying attention to our insides. And you made the point when we spoke last, Terry, when we were just kind of planning for this, that awareness exists on a spectrum.
Absolutely. I believe that when we are disconnected from ourself and unaware at the extreme. Some folks call that dissociation. We are not associated with the other person or the environment. Where there are parts of ourselves that are disconnected and disintegrated. And that's, for some people, particularly in this field, that's it's a coping mechanism. It's a defense. And what was really revelatory for me in my studies was that it's healthy, because when something's overwhelming and you can't integrate that in the moment, you need to be able to put that in a place that you're not taking it in. So you might just simply be checking out because it's too much. It would be overwhelming to try to integrate that into what's really happening for you in the moment.
Yeah, it's such a good point, because awareness is good. It's necessary for healing. However, there are times when it is simply too overwhelming to our system to be aware of the horror of the reality that's actually happening to us. And God, in his mercy, the way he's designed our brains, we will dissociate or disconnect in those times, and thank God for it. It's a good thing. So back to this spectrum, dissociation or disconnection is kind of on the low end. And then there is selective attention, what you called selective attention, which is you're aware of some things of what's going on for you, some of your thoughts, feelings, perhaps. And then there is full awareness, which is just, and here's the word, it's attunement to your own self in all of your parts. It's just paying attention to that. And so what we're really inviting people to consider today is, what would it look like for you to move from dissociation, distraction, disconnection to increasingly toward more awareness of what's going on inside of you?
Yeah, I like the word selective attention, because for me, it's almost this, I've known it in a military context of situational awareness. It's, you know, you walk into a room, and again, as Kurt Thompson says, we are looking for people looking for us. Kurt suggests, I think rather accurately, that we do this our entire lives. We are looking for people who enjoy our presence, who we are connected to, and attached, you know, attachment theory. All says that we're looking for that safe place to be ourselves, to be authentic, to be present and mindful and aware of, this is a good place for me.
And so even the notion of being enjoyed, are you aware of what's happening inside of you when someone actually likes being with you? I mean, that results in bodily sensations that are often good, sometimes maybe terrifying. But the point is, awareness is about, can you be with yourself and pay attention to what is it like for you when someone actually likes being with you? And conversely, what's it like for you when you see the face of contempt on another person and it is clearly about you? Are you aware in that moment about what's going on inside of you, the emotions? What happens to your heart rate in those moments? So we have a profound ability that many of us don't realize, and it's simply the ability to choose to pay attention to what we want to pay attention to. Our minds have that ability. You can direct your attention consciously to whatever you want. So you can choose to pay attention to what's happening in your mind and body, but it requires practice. Practice, practice. I mean, I can't, even preparing for this episode, I've been mindful this week of how often I'm just not aware of what's going on in my body. I'm just not aware of what I'm feeling. I'm not attuned to me. I'm not living in full awareness. Are you aware, like when you're in a cocktail party, you know, you're at a dinner party, you're at a birthday party, are you aware of what's happening inside of you? Are you aware of how your breathing changes? Are you breathing faster or slower than when you were started listening to this podcast? I mean, your body is always in flux.
You know, you mentioned sort of like this cocktail party scenario. You said it, and immediately I had this experience of being anxious to meet new people.
Yeah.
And I felt it in the pit of my gut, like, I don't want to go to this party alone. I don't want to make this meaningless same conversation small talk for the next hour and a half. I want to connect with one or maybe a couple of people and have a really good conversation.
Right. And so this is it, right? In vivo. Like when I said cocktail party, you had feelings and you were aware of what was happening in your body. This is the domain of integration that is, or awareness, or we could call it presence, that is necessary for healing. Like the brain cannot heal, it cannot integrate if we are not paying attention to what happens in our bodies when someone says cocktail party. When you're at work, are you aware of what happens in you when your boss comes into your office? You know, when you see a homeless person, are you aware of what happens inside you when you see that person and read their sign? Or when you avert your gaze? I mean, are you paying attention to what's going on in your body? And nowhere is this more relevant than in the context of close relationships, whether it's spouses, partners, children. Are you aware that you were looking at your wife one moment and everything was relatively calm inside, and then she said or did something and now you have averted your gaze and you're looking down at the floor? Awareness of that is very, it opens the possibility for healing in the brain. And we'll get to the other domains of integration where the actual healing takes place. But this is the prerequisite work to become increasingly aware. So you mentioned mindfulness earlier. You mentioned the word mindful. How are you using that term right now in this context?
Being mindful of the entire environment of the room. Is it calming? Is it receptive and inviting, or is it harsh and cold, either emotionally or physically? For me, mindfulness happens in my personal life when I meditate, realizing that I have monkey brain, that there are all these competing thoughts and I can't pay attention to any of them. You know, topic A comes up and then topic B wants to be front and center, literally in the front of our brain, where we're wanting to operate and pay attention. And so my mindfulness practice is literally slowing down and allowing all that stuff to be, but not being captive to any of them.
This is really getting to the core of awareness. Awareness is the ability to actually pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Let me define mindfulness first. Mindfulness is paying attention in the present moment on purpose to whatever you are thinking, feeling, or sensing, but without judgment. That's the term that is often associated. To be mindful, technically, it has to be without judgment. However, and that's great. I mean, I'm pro non-judgment of your own stuff inside, what's arising within you. However, I think it can actually be really helpful to even be aware, and especially be aware of where judgment creeps in your day-to-day life. And what do I mean by judgment? In this context, simply a condemning posture towards your own heart, towards what you have just done. Most people, in my experience, including me, are unaware of the dozens of moments of self-contempt in our day-to-day life. So, Terry, when you think of the competing thoughts inside, what are you doing when you're aware of them? Like, what's, like, let's break this way down. You're sitting quietly, you're being with your heart and your mind, and you're paying attention. What happens?
For me, I worked in an inpatient treatment facility a couple years ago, and I had a colleague who was about 30 years sober. And she said, you know, the way that I represent it, which has been really helpful for me, is she imagines this topic A, right, that she's frustrated by whatever it is, right? She's hungry and she's thinking about, she forgot to mail the mortgage payment and now it'll be late. But it's the ability to have that idea, right? This source of judgment, and being able to put it on a conveyor belt in front of you and watch this idea fade, literally recedes from your view, this Amazonian warehouse where it is in a box on a conveyor belt, and in about 15 seconds or less, it's literally out of sight. It's just disappeared. You have the ability to say, this frustration cannot own me in this moment. It's important, but it's not so important that it's going to affect who I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's hash out for, and this is going to be a little geeky, but it's important. Why is awareness so important? Why is it so important to pay attention to what you're paying attention to? And it's a rather astounding discovery of neuroscience in the past 25 years. And it's simply this: paying attention to your feelings, to your thoughts, to your bodily sensations can create neural firing patterns in the brain that enable your brain to change. And that's called healing. And it is flat out unreal. The notion that our brains can change via self-directed experience. And all I mean by that is paying attention to what's happening inside of you. And there are three ways that our brain changes when we are practicing awareness, when we are paying attention to our insides. And here are the three ways. Number one, new neurons can actually develop. And it's called neurogenesis. Your brain can make new neurons. In my opinion, the discovery of what's called neurogenesis is really evidence of the reality of the resurrection. Resurrection is different than resuscitation. Resurrection means that newness, creation is pulsing in the world. And as it turns out, neuroscientists have found out that you can actually make new neurons in your brain, which is absolutely stunning and frankly inexplicable. All right, that's number one way that brain can change. The second way the brain can change via awareness or paying attention is that neurons that were not previously connected or wired together become wired together, or that wiring gets strengthened. So neurons that were not well connected previously can become more connected. And that's a real big deal because it allows the brain to integrate. And it happens via paying attention. So, for example, you know, when you're dysregulated and you experience the soothing kindness of a friend, a partner, a therapist, when you are soothed and brought back to a place of calm, new connections develop between your cortex and your subcortical brain. New connections develop and are strengthened. And that's called growing. It's called maturing. It's called healing. It's called wholeness. And then the third way, and this is probably the geekiest of all, but in some ways it may be the most important. The third way that the brain can change by paying attention is that this thing called the myelin sheath. Myelin is what covers your neurons. It envelops your neurons. It's a fatty sheath around the axons of neurons. Myelin is a big deal. And here's why. Not all neural circuitry transmits information at the same speed. So if you have a myelinated neuron and neural circuit, that information gets transmitted 3,000 times faster than an unmyelinated circuit. So let's make this really, really practical. Imagine a fight with your partner and you get dysregulated because of something they say, a facial expression, their tone of voice, whatever. Imagine how the next 5 minutes of that fight might unfold if you can calm yourself 3,000 times faster. That's the difference between a healthy marriage and absolute turmoil. And it's all because of myelin. So, summary, the process of awareness, paying attention to your thoughts, your feelings, your bodily sensations, it can change your brain in three ways. Neurogenesis, creation of new neurons, what's called synaptogenesis, which just means the synapse between neurons gets linked up, And the third way is building myelin. So here's one of the main points of today. Where attention goes, neural firing happens. Where attention goes, neural firing happens. And when neurons fire, connections are made that were previously not made, or connections are strengthened that were previously weak. And when neurons connect with one another or strengthen their connection, that's another way of saying integration. Integration simply means connections between neurons that were previously not well connected. And awareness, this first domain of integration, awareness, paying attention, it leads to neurons becoming more connected, more linked. So you may remember in the very first episode of the podcast, I said that every neuron in your brain got there in one of two ways, either genes or experience. Well, awareness, that is the intentional focus of attention, that's a form of experience. It's self-directed experience, but it's a form of experience. And so even self-directed experience, it stimulates new patterns of neural firing, and that creates new synaptic connections. So let me quote Dan Siegel. Here's how he says it. By harnessing the power of awareness to strategically stimulate the brain's neural firing, we can voluntarily change a firing pattern that was laid down involuntarily. This is so good. When we focus our attention in specific ways, we create neural firing patterns that permit previously separated areas to become linked and integrated. That's the way Dan Siegel explains it. So a bit about the neurobiology of awareness. I'll keep it really short. There is a portion of your brain called the anterior insula that is the part of your brain that's activated when you start paying attention to your internal bodily sensations. And the name for this is interoception. We could say it's our sixth sense. It is our ability to attune to and pay attention to what's happening inside. The more interoception and insula activation, the more capacity we will have for tuning into our inner experience and just noticing it. So literally, when you sit down and do perhaps a body scan meditation where you just notice the sensations in various portions of your body, you are building your insula. You are changing the very structure of your brain, and you are developing the ability to pay attention to what happens in your body, you know, 6 hours later when you're in a difficult and stressful situation. So again, this is incredibly hopeful. It is showing us how to change the structures of our brain that allow for healing, for shalom, for well-being. Bessel van der Kolk is a neuroscientist, a trauma guy, and he says that one of the sentences he says most often when he's doing therapy is, notice that. Notice that. He says to his clients, okay, what are you experiencing? And then they report, just notice that. If judgment creeps in, that shuts down the ability to notice, to pay attention. It takes us away. And so the opposite of judgment, and really the invitation for deeper awareness, is this word curiosity. If you can just be curious about what's going on inside of you, that really changes everything. It allows for a more spacious awareness of what's going on in you. It's this sense of, holy cow, like, my wife just looked at me that way, and look what's going on in my body. Or, oh my gosh, my kid just forgot their lunch at school or their lunch at home. You know, all of a sudden there's cortisol coursing through my body. You know, that's really interesting. I wonder why that is. Curiosity.
I think even to be curious of the judgment, all of these, they have a visceral response to me, and most of them are pretty mild, right? If a loved one looks away or they pick up their phone increasingly, I don't have to react in the moment. If my curiosity is, I wonder why she picked up her phone, rather than to bark, what are you doing? right? That we have a choice in that moment. We are an agent in that moment of our awareness of the judgment. Judgment's not necessarily a bad thing. Emotions are not a bad thing. They're uncomfortable.
And they're data. And they're data.
It's all kinds of data, right? And the ability to say, honey, I noticed that you just picked up your phone and we were having a really interesting conversation to me. It felt really important. I'm curious, are you okay? Just to invite rather than to integrate these things rather than to disintegrate, to blow up, to walk out of the room.
Yeah, and even the flip side of that, which is I don't know why this is happening in me, but when you picked up your phone, like all of a sudden stuff's going on inside of me. I don't even necessarily know what it is, but it's big and I can feel it. Like just that level of curiosity preserves a connection, and it is a spacious place of openness that allows for the brain to integrate across these other domains that we're going to talk about in a future episode.
Love it. All of this is highly resonant for me, not just as a therapist, but how are we paying attention to what's going on in us first, rather than finding an instinctive or a default place of blame or accusation, right? We know that when we have that ability to slow things down internally first, we've had people do that for us. And you know how good it feels when they say, I want to let you know that I'm just really disappointed. And I want to work through this. That has such a different, lands so differently for each of us when we know they want to repair rather than stay in that place of disconnection or disruption.
Yeah, and so really the word that you're getting at is this word vulnerability. I mean, to pay attention to what's happening inside of us requires a measure of vulnerability. In a sense, what you're doing and what we're inviting you to is, will you subject yourself to your own inner experience? Will you pay attention to what's actually happening in your thoughts, feelings, emotions, your bodily sensations? Will you pay attention to that? That is a vulnerable endeavor. It's a vulnerable endeavor because there's a rich sea of stuff that's always happening inside of us. And it's all data. And by that, all I mean is it tells the truth about our insides. It tells the truth about the things that are the most core to our desire, the most core to our fear, the most core to our disappointment. It tells the truth about what matters to us. And so it dawns on me that one of the reasons we may not be very inclined to pay attention to our insides is that when we do so, all manner of turmoil is there. And it can be overwhelming. It can make it hard to function. I mean, we've both sat with enough people, and even just knowing in our own stories, those moments where you think, if I go there, if I let myself feel this stuff, I may never come back. And so on a real practical level, this comes back to the notion of awareness of awareness. So let me unpack that. Dan Siegel has an instrument called the Wheel of Awareness. And it's a visual metaphor of how we have the ability as human beings to be aware of what's happening on like the outer rim. If you think about a wheel, the outer rim of our mind. So on the outer rim are thoughts, feelings, sensations. That's the outer rim. All of your five senses are the outer rim. Interoception is on the outer rim. What's happening inside your body, that's all on the outer rim. The hub of the wheel is this place that is, it's the core of who you are. It's what the Bible means when it says our life is hid with Christ in God. And that place is the most you. So when you can be in that place and just notice, this goes back to your conveyor belt illustration, just notice the big feelings, the overwhelming sensations, you become aware that there is a you that is independent of all of that tormenting stuff on the rim. That is extremely healing for the brain. And this is the analogy that Dan gives. He says, your mind is like an ocean. Deep beneath the surface, if you go down far enough, it is calm and clear. No matter what the conditions are at the surface, deep down, there's a stability, there's a calmness, there's a clarity. This is what I mean about my life is hid with Christ in God. It is this place from which you can look up at the surface of the water, and whatever turbulence is going on there, you can notice it, and you can be aware that there is a you that is independent of that stuff, that is deeper, that is more core than that turbulent stuff on the surface. And that allows you to begin to decide what you want to do with that stuff on the surface. But if you aren't anchored in that hub, you can get taken away by all this stuff on the surface. And that's frankly where many of us spend most of our day, you know, tossed back and forth by what's happening on the rim. All the thoughts, all the emotions, all the sensations, all the dysregulation. But awareness, this first domain, is saying you as a human being have the ability to pay attention to that stuff, which means you're not that stuff. That's awareness of awareness. So as we end, we're just going to give an example, make this really practical. And Terry moved a week ago across town into his own place, which was awesome. So let's talk a bit about what did you notice as you paid attention to what's happening in you during a move?
Well, even as you mention it here, right, the concept of moving theoretically is stressful. I mean, how many people listening to this, like, oh, I know what that's like to move, and it's awful. It's because it's laborious. It takes, just the theory of moving takes a lot of effort, a lot of coordination. As I am aware of, right, I moved into a house that I bought, and there was a lot of relief that this process of buying a house was coming to an end. And how many people have asked me, right, are you feeling settled, right? All of the feels at that point of knowing that it's a process, and that I can be aware of the thought of, like, that is, will a truck be available? Will my friends show up? Will I be ready and finished packing? Will it rain on the day that we move? Right, all these thoughts. And then the feelings of, I'm just ready to be done. I am tired emotionally. I'm tired physically. I'm hopeful that it will go well, that nothing will get broken. Like, all of these things are all true.
As you're going about your day in anticipation and planning for this move, are you aware of all this stuff that's coming up in you? Whether it's the thoughts about, is anyone going to come? Who's going to come? Whether it's the feeling of, what's it like? What's it feel like for you to receive somebody's kindness? And the invitation of awareness is to pay attention to what your body is doing as you anticipate a move.
Even before that, what's it like to ask people?
Yeah.
Will you help me move? My instinct is I don't want to bother or burden someone else, and I know I can't do it myself. I know that I'm built for a relationship in so many ways, and yet this is a Sunday. They have better things to do, and yet I'm going to step forward and say, if you can give me an hour or two of your time, I'd really, really appreciate it. Again, all these things that are competing for my thoughts, and what do I do when these thoughts or these feelings become overwhelming or uncomfortable? Do I flip on a YouTube video to soothe myself because that awareness is too uncomfortable? Or do I say, you know what, I'm going to ask. I'm going to text this person because I really value them, and they've said, if you move, let me know. I'd like to help.
And so there's two ways of going through the process of moving. There is the way of not awareness, not paying attention, where you just do the tasks, you know, and you bang it out. You either call the friend or you don't call the friend. But the point is, you're just on autopilot. You're making decisions, you're moving forward, but you're not paying attention to what the experience is like for you. We can't end without saying this. What we're talking about is attachment. Attachment is about attunement. This is attuning to your own self, but it's still about attachment. Like, your awareness is about attuning to what's going on inside of you. And all of us need attunement deeply. So, summary of where we've been and where we're going. Integration is profoundly healing for your brain, and it brings about a state of connectedness and well-being that every human being is designed to experience. There are domains of integration that Dan Siegel's identified, and we're going to talk about those in a subsequent episode. I'll give you a preview. There is vertical integration, which simply means connecting the top portions of your brain to the bottom portions of your brain. There's left-right or horizontal integration, which is connecting your left hemisphere and your right hemisphere. There's narrative integration, which is making your story coherent. And there's memory integration, integration of memory. And so we're going to talk about all four of those. But the purpose of today is to say this: you cannot engage any of those four domains of integration unless you are growing in your ability to be aware of the feelings, the thoughts, the sensations in your body, your inner experience, everything that's going on inside there. So thank you, Terry, for talking with me about these things, doing the color commentary. It's good to be with you.
You too, Adam. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. It would be really awesome if you would consider supporting this podcast monetarily. There are many expenses associating with producing it, and you can help fund the podcast by going to adamyoungcounseling.com and clicking on Support the Podcast. If you contribute a dollar for every episode that you've enjoyed, that would really be tremendously helpful. Music for this podcast was provided by Rob Mathis and Rick Wilson. Thank you, Rob and Rick. See you next week.